Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm intending to continue covering topic of orthopraxy, specifically the practice of family religion, also known as family worship, sometimes known as a church in the house, also known as a family altar. Several different terminology or phrases there covering the same idea. I'd like to give a couple disclaimers first of all. I'm not an expert on the topic. I've read a couple of very good books, which I highly recommend and I'm willing to share with anyone. A Church in the House by Matthew Henry, well-known Bible commentator. Thoughts on Family Worship, J.W. Alexander. I haven't read this one completely through, but from the portion that I've read so far, it's very good. I'll be sharing some excerpts. So our main verse is Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Orthopraxy is right practices. It's not intended to supersede orthodoxy in any way. They're not on the same field. We're not talking about people getting saved. We're talking about sharing or practicing our faith, sharing our faith, living our faith. The power that is in, there is great power in orthopraxy. We read in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees who were practicing some traditions that were not honoring to their parents. And Jesus said that they made the word of God of none effect through their tradition. That's power. That's power. So I'd like to share from the preface of Thoughts on Family Worship. This book, by the way, he dedicates it to his father and mother. The author dedicates it. He says, by whose hands I was first led to family worship. The preface, I'll just read a portion of it. He said, although this is but a small book, there may be some by whom it will be thought too large for its subject. Such persons must differ in their estimate of domestic religion from the writer, who has been impelled to study the institution by a profound conviction of its value. In a period when the world is every day making new inroads on the church, it has especially invaded the household. Our church cannot compare with that of the 17th century in this regard. This book was written in 1847. Same things are happening, only worse. Along with the Sabbath observance and the catechizing of children, family worship has lost ground. I'll say. There are many heads of families, communicants in our churches, and according to a scarcely credible report, some ruling elders and deacons who maintain no stated daily service of God in their dwellings. It is to awaken such to duty that this volume has been prepared. The richest inheritance which some of us have is the domestic rite, which has been in our houses as far back as record or tradition goes. A venerable parishioner of the author has enjoyed family worship with no less than six generations, including a grandfather and great-grandchildren. Let other heirlooms perish, but let us not deny to our offspring the worship of that God who has been our dwelling place in all generations. One other quote from this book. The author writes, establish the worship of God in any house, and you erect around it a new barrier against the eruption of the world, the flesh, and the devil. How about that? Would you like a new barrier in your house against the world, the flesh, and the devil? From Matthew Henry's A Church in the House. Matthew Henry lived 1662 to 1714. He was an English nonconformist pastor, Bible commentator, who is an emblem of faithful fatherhood. It is said that the Henry household was likened to the gates of heaven, where the parents governed all family life by the word of God. It was a home full of the truth and the happiness and the mercies of the kingdom of God. What is clear from Henry's writings is that he understood the teaching of Scripture on the family in a way that most modern people do not. He is a good mentor for fathers living in any century, but particularly the 21st, when the practices of biblical fatherhood have been at such a low watermark in the church. Perhaps one of the most important aspects of Matthew Henry's mentorship is his relationship with his own father, Philip Henry, in the home of his youth. This father and son duo from the 17th century present some of the best role models in Christian history for the dynamics of fathers passing on their faith from one generation to the next. Matthew maintained the exemplary patterns of his father in his own home. The lifestyle in his home was so much like that of his teacher that his great commentary had its beginnings in the notes from Philip's exposition before his family in his home when Matthew was a mere stripling. Matthew used his handwritten notes from these same commentaries to instruct his own children. Then he had his children copy down his expositions, leaving them with their own personal record of the teachings of their father, written in their own hand. These simple notes were the beginnings of the great commentary series on the whole Bible that we enjoy today. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Perhaps you've heard the story about the man who lived in the flood zone, had a house, it was in a flood zone, and the neighbors heard the weather report, and they came by and they said, there's going to be a flood. You need to, we're all leaving. You need to go. And he wasn't ready. He said, I'm not going to go until I hear God telling me. And so neighbors left, and the water started coming. The level of water was rising in his house. And someone came by in a boat, and they said, hop in the boat. It's going to get worse. And he said, no, I'm not ready yet. I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me. And so the waters kept rising, and the man had to climb onto the roof of his house. A helicopter came by and dropped a rope and said, grab the rope. He said, no, I'm waiting. I'm going to stay right here. I'm waiting. So after this man died from the flood, he was asked, why? And the man said, well, you never came out and told me that I had to do such and such. And God said, well, I sent three messengers to you. I sent three messengers to you to tell you. And I'm saying that this is very important. We have a window of time to reach our children. And the waters are rising all around us. He offers a way for us to witness not only to our children, but to our grandchildren. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, there is a famine in our land of your word. I pray it would not be so in our homes. In Jesus' name.